Hi, good morning. It's time for Patrick Doyle to move into the hot seat, and he is now with Veritas Counseling, which is Latin for truth.
That's right.
622-6018 is the new number, 622-6018. That's the number at his office.
That's right.
At the corner of Crater Lake Avenue and East Jackson. And but the number here, if you want to talk to him this morning, is 776-5368. No appointment required. You don't even pay for this call.
That's right.
776-5368 or 1-800-373-5368. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good.
Hey, you got a couple openings still open for this little workshop you got coming up.
Actually, yes. The one starting Thursday is full.
All right.
But we have another one starting the following week on Tuesday, which has about six or eight, somewhere in there, slots left.
Okay.
So if you're interested in that class, Search for Significance, where we're going to talk about the lies that, you know, drag us down, steal our joy, keep us from experiencing some freedom, and then we answer those lies with the truth of the
All right, we're back. Sorry.
I guess I'll take my consolation prize backstage.
Yeah. little EAS thing there. Everything's okay, folks. Everything's okay. So anyway, let's go back to you got Search for Significance workshop.
Yep.
It's going to be the Tuesday night slot.
Four Tuesday nights in a row starting next Tuesday, a week from today.
$50.
$50.
All right.
And be taught by Ron. I'm really excited. He and I have been going over some of the class material. It's just going to be really good. I'm really excited about it. Be good to see.
Well, if you want to do that, let me tell you, this is powerful. You know, if you're just struggling, you know, 2-2 is making, you know, 3.7. Take this class.
7.5.
Yeah. 622-6018. Call that number. And get registered with Tuesday nights for the next four nights. About 6 to 8 slots left. So those who snooze, lose. 622-6018. Call Veritas and get signed up for Search for Significance.
That's right.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. I really appreciate Ron. I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Why don't you send him over? I'm tired of you now.
Well, I guess that can be arranged.
Just kidding. I had this free coffee this morning. I should have never taken one sip of that thing.
Was it spiked or something?
Oh, man, it was a quad.
Oh, my goodness.
You just put it in front of my nose, and I start walking on the ceiling.
So, you kind of walk on the wall on an average day.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, I couldn't handle the whole thing. I already got the jitters. I can't do that. I mean, Steve, to him, that's just, you know, Jet A fuel in his veins. All right. So what are we talking about here, pal?
I want to talk about marriage.
Marriage.
I know it doesn't mean anything to anyone. It's not a topic we really need to talk about.
Right.
You know? Nobody really is affected by it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of crazy that way. No, actually, I do want to talk about marriage, but I want to talk about something that I don't think we often talk about as it relates to the subject of marriage, and that is I believe real strongly there's only the ultimate purpose of marriage is not to have contentment. It's not to have companionship. It's not to have stable finances. It's not to have a nice home. It's not to raise children. The purpose of marriage is to glorify God. That's the bottom line of marriage. And the other thing I see a lot of in what I do in my counseling is that a lot of marriages don't have any fellowship. And let me describe what I mean by fellowship. When I say fellowship, I don't mean coffee and cookies in the back room while we talk about, you know, current events. I'm talking about having intimacy and agreement around who the person of God is. And that is one of the core necessities of good intimacy in any marriage. If the most important thing in your life, your spiritual life, you don't have agreement with your spouse on, how are you going to have deep trust? You're not going to. Doesn't mean you can't stay married. Doesn't mean you can't have a decent marriage. But you're never going to have the kind of marriage that's really intimate because you don't have that fellowship.
Mm.
And I see a lot of folks who go to the same church and they, you know, they hang out with each other, but they really never talk about what's going on with them spiritually. They never really talk about what God is showing them or how they're changing or what they believe about God. And, you know, to have a safe place like with your spouse to talk about the most intimate part of your relationship with God builds a tremendous amount of intimacy into your marriage.
How come you don't have to be married long that you know what your spouse is going to say and think,
right.
And they know what you're going to say and think?
Right. And I think what we get used to is like, well, we all live kind of on two levels. There's the level where we want people to like us and we want them to like, we want to like them, they want to like us. We don't want to, you know, expose ourselves too much, and it's kind of a surface level. And in that way, we become very predictable. But if you're really talking about what's underneath,
mm-hmm.
that's not very predictable. And that's why when things become predictable, it's, I think it's because we're more on the surface and less really into what the truth is of how we really feel or what we really think.
Hmm.
And so we're always editing ourselves, which, remember, the two required ingredients for intimacy are risk and vulnerability. If you can't take a risk and you can't be vulnerable, you're never going to have good intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about just physical intimacy. I'm talking about intimacy on an emotional, a spiritual, and an intellectual level. Those three things will determine how good your physical intimacy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have physical intimacy all the time and be separate from those other things and not have intimacy in those ways. So, to take a risk and be vulnerable about my spiritual life is really the place to start. And, you know, if you have agreement about who the person of God is, how strong does that make your connection?
Mm.
I mean, what can tear that apart if you have agreement about that? And this is why it's so important that those of you out there that are thinking about getting married, you better check this. If you're thinking about getting married, you're engaged, this is an area that you need to check out. Your compatibility. You know, I don't believe that there's just one person out there for you to marry. If that were the case, if one person married the wrong person, we'd all be off. Just logically, it can't work out.
Yeah.
I think there's 100 people, 200, 1,000 people that you could be completely satisfied with in life. I don't believe there's just one person for you. But none of those people will be satisfactory if you don't do the work of intimacy. And intimacy does not come naturally to human beings. We naturally avoid it. We don't want to be vulnerable. And most of us have been hurt enough times by taking a risk with somebody and then taking the advantage of that or throwing it at our face or beating us up with it or gossiping about us or slandering us with that information that we've learned over time, well, taking a risk isn't exactly a good idea. And so we carry that rule into our marriage, and we want that person that we're married to be happy with us. We want them to think we're great. We want them to be proud of us. So we tend to hide. We tend to minimize or justify the negative parts of ourselves.
Wow.
Well, you can't have intimacy if you do that.
Okay, I won't ask any questions.
You know you have to.
No. You're doing fine on your own. You're just digging a great hole here. It's fun to watch.
So, you know, I really...
But, you know, it's so interesting what you're saying here is I think this is a desired state for a lot of marriages.
Yeah.
But there are some who are... They're just flat not together spiritually. They're
mm-hmm.
not together.
Mm-mm.
One serves and worship and the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
very common.
It's very common.
In the church.
And then you got the blended family thing,
mm-hmm.
Which you bring all those dynamics in.
Right.
So
right.
How does that fit in?
Well, again, the spiritual side of your life is where you begin. If you have difficulty in your relationship, the first place to start is not trying to figure out that difficulty. That's working backwards in my mind.
But I think in young marriages, take, you know, young couples getting married and starting off on life,
mm-hmm.
they're not only maturing as a couple, but they're literally maturing spiritually,
That's
too.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, they're not full grown here.
Right. But all the more reason why they have to be honest and intimate about their spiritual life, you know, because my spiritual life has changed dramatically over the years, you know, and I have struggled with this very issue myself of letting my wife into that reality because I'm always kind of protective. I want her to see me as okay. I want her to not be worried. I want her to, you know, feel like she has a safe place to be. But what I found over time is the thing my wife wants more than anything
transparency
is not for me to be strong, but for me to be real. if I'm real with her and say, you know, I'm struggling with this, what she knows about me is she knows that I have an intimacy with God. She sees that very clearly. She trusts that. But when I lock her out, what it feels like is rejection. Like I don't want her in on the most important parts of my life. And that really hurts, particularly for women who desire to be very close. They don't desire for things to be perfect. They just want to be in, they want to be in the loop. And I know there's women out there that totally are understanding what I'm saying. They want to be able to be part of what their husband is going through, not be on the outside looking in.
All right, let's take some calls on this. If you want to join us, you're welcome to. And hi, John, you're on the air with Patrick Doyle. Go ahead.
Yeah,
hi, John.
I just caught about 5 minutes of this, and it sounds very like good advice. But my and I don't mind if you just bypass this question for a later show. But just when you think you got things pretty well figured out in marriage, about 50 plus, the change comes in, and your wife, and then the whole game plan get turned around. I'd like to, if you have a comment, fine. If not, that's fine.
Right. So when you're talking about the change, you're talking about hormonally or?
Yeah, the menopause.
Mm-hmm. And it changes things how?
Changes things. Have you been through that?
No, sir.
Well,
I'm not menopausal yet.
No, I know you have.
I don't need to be, I'm just kidding.
I just don't need to be laughing at it.
Perry knows what I'm talking, probably knows what I'm talking about. But some women just glide through it. Other women have some difficulty, and other women have extreme difficulty.
Correct.
So I don't know if that's another book, another show, but
well, I think it fits.
I wanted to put that into my hat into the ring.
Let's let him comment.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
I think we have Nisha here just before you every Tuesday, and her whole thing is the hormonal balance for women and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's out of whack,
okay.
2 and 2 don't make 4.
That's
it's
true.
3.7, it's 7.9, it's negotiable. Don't ask me.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. What I see happening in menopause more often than not is what happens is the hormonal imbalance and the difficulty that the hormone changes bring is it takes what's already there and it exaggerates it or makes it way more intense for the woman. So something that would be a 2 apart from the hormone change, is now an 8 or a 9. So it makes it much more difficult for her to function in that way when she's used to doing it a certain way or used to feeling a certain way. Now she feels a little bit out of control. With that being said, this is why spiritual intimacy is so important, because spiritual intimacy is what you're going to lean on when the difficulty comes. And what John is talking about is a difficult time. It's something that's outside of our control. We can't make it be better necessarily. We can try to do the hormone therapy. We can try to minimize it. But ultimately, it is a difficulty that many people just have to go through. It's part of growing older. If you have intimacy spiritually, what that does is it keeps the walls and the divides from becoming so big that they could be possibly fatal. And so
I think most guys are a little bit intimidated to be spiritually vulnerable or transparent.
I think you're right.
Because they're not comfortable with the fact that they're expected to know more than they are or that they do.
Right.
But
I don't find most women expect that. I think men perceive they expect that. I think what most women don't expect their men to be Bible scholars. They just expect them to be honest and present. This is the thing what women want. They want men to be there, not, you know, if a woman goes to her husband and she asks a spiritual question and the husband gives her some answer that's intellectually and theologically correct, but he's not engaged, she would trade the right answer for connection. And working through it together because what women want is connection.
Right,
they don't want information.
Let me put my Paul Coughlin hat on for a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
What about men? Why can't the woman accept the fact that the man gave her an intellectual and doctrinally correct answer? Why does it have to be her feeling and not his?
I didn't say she didn't have to accept it. What I'm saying is that's not what she's looking for generally. What we tend to do is try to fix the problem. And what women want more than anything is a connection with
the
man.
What do men want in this?
What men want too, I believe, is to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want connection too, but their kind of connection is not the same. And this is the big problem. This is really Paul's second book, Married But Not Engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really what they're addressing in that book is about how women need their men to be engaged, not just present. And so it's a very difficult thing, but most of us as men learn how to compartmentalize to survive life. It's part of our survival mechanism. We have to compartmentalize at work. We have to compartmentalize to take on some of the tasks we take on. But in our marriage, the intimacy is really where marriage becomes rich. And men will benefit greatly from intimacy if they'll give it a chance. But they're averse to it by nature. That's not our first option. It's not the first place we go. And when you start to grow in God, you start to see that God is all about intimacy. There's no avoiding it with him.
Okay.
It starts with him.
I'm struggling with this.
I understand.
Ahead.
It starts with him. You become comfortable with God, and inside your skin, you become. This is really what the Search for Significance class is all about: is coming to a place where you're comfortable in intimacy with God, which serves as a strong foundation from which I can take the risk and be vulnerable with my wife or whoever, because I'm confident that God is not going to leave or forsake me. He is there for me. He said that he loves me. I'm his child. I can't get out of that. Made it so.
Are we trying to change God's creation here?
To do what?
Well, you're trying to make men something different than you already said that they have a nature to be.
No, I'm saying it's not our first option. That's mostly cultural training. I don't think it's spiritual. I'm saying the opposite. I think if you look at the scripture, what God does is he encourages men to be intimate. And first and foremost with him. And then that intimacy that we have with him spreads into our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't if we don't have fellowship about him. This is my whole point, is that if we don't take that intimacy we have with him, or if we don't have it, how are we going to have it with our wives? Because our job as priests of our marriage, or shepherds in our home, is to lead our wives into intimacy with God.
All right.
And that's what they're really looking for. But we get task-oriented. And that's where we get in trouble, because we got to do this, we got to do that, and we got to do this. And that doesn't just go for men. That goes for our whole culture. Our culture is on a gerbil wheel. And so intimacy takes time, and it takes vulnerability, and it takes risk. And this is not something that we're geared to do. We're geared to avoid it. And what I'm saying, the way you change that is first and foremost by having your own intimacy with God. And when I say that, I don't mean just time. I mean where you're taking a risk and you're being vulnerable with God with your mouth out loud. You're saying the things that you're struggling with, because, by the way, they're not a newsflash to God. He already knows. And by me going to him and saying, here's what I'm struggling with, is me taking the risk of saying, I trust you enough to say this vulnerable thing and know that you're not going to run away from me or punish me or beat me up. You're going to take care of me. And this is where I see it breaks down for men. They know God is there, but they don't often go to him in that trusting fashion. They go to him with a list, say, I need help. But instead, they don't wrestle. They don't talk about what they're struggling with. Or, I want to, you know, take their lips off God, and I want to, you know, read David. He says, you know, get my enemies, God, kill them. He goes after his enemies, and God always deals with David. He brings him back to the point of, oh, yeah, that's right. I know that you're in charge of this. I'm going to put my trust in you, God. Okay, I want to kill my enemies. And if you give me a chance, I probably will, but I'm going to put my trust in you. That kind of wrestling is where the intimacy spawns. And I believe that's why David was called a man after God's own heart, because of that wrestling and because of what it produced, not because he did everything right. He was a colossal failure in marriage. He was a failure as a parent, if we measure it by you know, how things turned out standards. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a failure in God's eyes.
Okay. I'm struggling with some of this.
That's okay. Go ahead. Struggle. Because I think you're not the only one. I think there are many people out there listening that are doing the same thing, like, what is he saying? That's okay. So yeah. Why don't you be their voice?
Well, because I don't know if it leads to any solution.
It doesn't have to.
Well, I think there is an assumption here,
okay,
that I think that I'm uncomfortable with. The assumption is that men are wrong,
mm,
and they have to change in order to meet the woman's need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have a problem with that. It's not that I'm chauvinistic.
Mm-hmm.
Why are men this way, and why are women that way, and why is it always that the man has to change, mm-hmm, to meet the woman?
Right.
I have a problem with that,
right,
and I'm not chauvinistic.
Right.
Peggy and I will be married 40 years this coming next year. So, you know, we've
right,
you know, we've kind of got this thing worked out. You know what I'm saying? There's been bumps in the road, but, you know, it's been great.
Yeah.
But the point is that there's this assumption that the man is the one that's wrong and always has to change. I struggle with that.
Yeah. Well, and that's not what I'm saying.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I do believe that one of the reasons why we come to that conclusion, Perry, is because men are charged with leadership. And so they have lion's share of responsibility because they're the leader. And so, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in a relationship in our culture, men generally are intimacy avoidant. That's what I'm saying, and that is true. Now, doesn't mean that their wife can't encourage them. I think a lot of times men aren't intimate because their wives, if they do tell the truth, freak out. And men get afraid of that. So they're like, I'm not going to say anything because if I say something, she's going to fly off the handle. So I'm not going to say anything. Or she's going to give me a big lecture or whatever. And that's all that stuff happens because there's no intimacy on a spiritual level.
Well, let's take Matthew. Hi, Matthew. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Perry.
Hi, Matthew.
Pastor Gary Johnson and I were talking just this past week about the question you raised. And it's not that he was saying it's not that men are wrong. He goes, you have to die to yourself. And once you die to yourself, he goes, your wife is going to see the things that you are trying to change, see the things that you're trying to, that you want to see in your relationship. And I thought, wow, that is, and when I was on the phone with him, though, I said, well, Gary, how do you do that? You know, and it's one of those, it's such a simple concept that it was way too simple at that time to understand. And because I was at that same point where I thought what Gary was telling me is, man, I got to feel like I'm, you know, wrong, or I got to admit that. And what he was trying to get me to is that self-sacrifice first. Mm-hmm. And once I die to my own self, then my wife will notice those things and will have an opportunity to change with me.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Yep.
I hope that clarifies a little bit with your guys' conversation.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew. And we've been praying for you. Hang in there, pal.
It reminds me, though, something he brings up reminds me is, look, I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I believe there's only one determination if somebody's wrong, and that is when the Holy Spirit convicts you.
I have no problem with dying
then
yourself.
You're wrong.
I think that is that something God does with every individual. Scripture says a lesser grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies.
Right.
It abides alone. But
right.
If it does die,
right,
then it'll bring forth much fruit.
That's right.
So there is fruit in dying.
Right.
And that is a personal thing. But not at the cost of masculinity.
Right.
I think that's the thing that's
right.
bothering me. That
right.
The church has feminized men.
Right.
The society has feminized
right.
men.
You're
and
right.
I'm starting to get
right.
on Paul Coughlin's wagon here. Get a gun and go shoot something.
Right. Well, I'm not.
You know what I'm saying?
And I am certainly no fan of feminizing men. And when I say intimacy, I think that's a lot of times what people misconstrue. But when you look at the scripture, what you see is the strongest of men are those who are capable of intimacy. And I don't mean the way our culture projects intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about intimacy from a biblical point of view, where we have intimacy around the person of Christ, who God is, and that creates huge, strong strength, and that creates endurance, and that creates leadership, and that creates all those things that we're supposed to be. But you can't have it without first, in God's economy, in our weakness, He is made strong. Look, the truth is, Perry, you and I don't have the strength to be what the Bible tells us to be. If it isn't for God influencing us by the Holy Spirit, we do not have the capacity. And so what I see a lot of times is guys overamping without the spiritual foundation to be that. And that's a lot of pressure, and they get really walled off. And so what I'm saying is, if you have a deep intimacy with God that's real and will hold weight, then you have the ability to take the risks that make you really a man. Not because you're hiding behind this thing or that thing, or you're doing this thing or you're doing that thing. And by no means, let it be made clear, I do not believe in feminizing men. I believe in the opposite. I believe as men, we need to take up being men and stop hiding. And you can't be a man and hide, if you ask me. And first and foremost, with God. And I'm speaking to Christians.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Now, to the non-believer, it's a different story.
And forgive me, I'm not trying to be controversial.
No, you are. You are. No, I'm kidding. No, and I know you struggle with this because I think on the other side, you've seen a lot of abuse.
I've seen enormous abuse.
Right.
And the church is weak today because men have been told to become something that they're not.
And what I,
at the cost of their personal identity. And I am really becoming a fighter and a defender of that.
And what I'm suggesting is an avenue by which men can become the strong leadership entity that the church needs them to be. Because I'm with you, Perry. The church is in a crisis of leadership in America. We don't have good leadership. Stuff's going on all over the place where men are not stepping up. And the reason they're not stepping up isn't because they're of their wives. They're not stepping up because they don't have intimacy with God.
And okay, that's a different issue. I mean, you got two issues on the table here. Men having intimacy with God, which I think you and I need to do a whole show on.
Yeah.
But the premise of this one was the fellowship within marriage.
Right.
And the objection that I had on some of the premise that was originally laid down was that the man has to change in order for the fellowship to work. I struggle with that.
Right.
I really struggle with that.
In some cases, that's true. In some cases, it's not.
Yeah.
Without knowing the specifics of the situation, you can't say that. Because there are men out there that have pathology that's real, that keeps them from being intimate. There are also women out there that have pathology, and sometimes both people have it.
Right, right.
And so it's not about, I'm not trying to make a decision about who's who, but I'm saying from a biblical perspective, as men, we're charged with leadership, so we got to take it seriously. And I believe if we get down on our knees and get honest with God, He'll heal our marriage much quicker than if our wives do it.
I underscore that 100%. I think teaching men how to have a vital and intimate relationship with God is paramount.
Right, and it is definitely one of my
passions. But not at the cost of your individuality.
Well, no, it actually creates it.
Okay.
It gives you a platform to be who God created you to be. Without that intimacy, you'll never, ever take those risks.
622-6018, the number to Veritas Counseling, and there's a couple slots available for the Tuesday night class.
That's correct.
In Search of Significance.
Which
really adds to what we're talking
this
about.
It's basically
here.
The bottom line of it.
622-6018, there's about six slots available, so those who snooze lose, call and get in. That's only four
that's right.
weeks. Great investment. 622-6018. Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, thank you.
See you next week.
All right, bye-bye.